Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Two Choke Point Economy, How Flow, Constraint, and Control Defying Global Power by Mario Cordon is presented as a non-fiction work on political economy, global systems, and strategic power. Available public information about this specific title is limited, so any responsible analysis must stay close to the themes clearly signaled by the title and subtitle, rather than attributing detailed case studies or claims that cannot be verified. The book appears to examine how modern power is shaped not only by ownership of resources or military capability, but by the ability to influence flows of goods, capital, data, energy, and logistics. Its central concern is the choke point, a point in a system where movement can be slowed, redirected, priced, monitored, or stopped. As a framework, the book belongs to the broader literature on globalization, supply chain fragility, economic statecraft, and infrastructure control, with the purpose of explaining why constraints inside networks can become instruments of geopolitical and commercial leverage. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, flow as the operating condition of modern economic power. The first major theme suggested by the book is that power in the global economy depends on flow. Modern production, finance, trade, and communication operate through continuous movement goods across shipping routes, components through supply chains, payments through financial networks, data through digital infrastructure, and energy through transport systems. This perspective shifts attention away from isolated assets and toward the circulation that makes those assets valuable. A factory, port, market, or technology platform matters not only because it exists, but because it sits inside a moving system. If the flow is interrupted, the value of the surrounding system can decline quickly. This helps explain why apparently technical functions such as logistics, standards, settlement systems, routing, and timing can become strategic. The theme also implies that globalization should not be understood as simple openness. It is a structured set of movements that depends on coordination, trust, regulation, and physical capacity. Whoever can sustain, accelerate, or prioritize those flows may gain influence. Whoever can interrupt them can impose costs. The concept of flow, therefore, provides the foundation for understanding how economic systems become arenas of power rather than merely channels of exchange. Secondly, choke points as narrow sites where broad systems become vulnerable. A second core topic is the choke point itself, understood as a narrow or concentrated part of a larger system where disruption has effects beyond its immediate location. A choke point may be physical, institutional, technological, legal, or financial. What makes it important is not simply scarcity, but the mismatch between a small control point and the large volume of activity that depends on it. When many actors rely on the same passage, protocol, supplier, platform, rule, or clearing mechanism, the point becomes strategically sensitive. The reasoning is structural. A distributed system can still contain concentrated dependencies. This is why efficiency and fragility can develop together. Systems often optimize around the fastest, cheapest, or most reliable route, but repeated optimization can reduce redundancy and increase dependence. A choke point economy, therefore, reveals a paradox of modern integration. The more tightly connected the world becomes, the more powerful certain bottlenecks may become. This idea is useful because it avoids treating vulnerability as accidental. It shows how dependency can be produced by design choices, market concentration, infrastructure limits, regulatory arrangements, or geopolitical geography. Choke points are not merely obstacles, they are places where hidden power becomes visible. Thirdly, control through access, timing, pricing, and exclusion. The subtitle places control alongside flow and constraint, indicating that the book is concerned with how influence is exercised inside networks. Control does not always require full ownership or direct command. It can operate through access rules, technical standards, licensing, pricing, prioritization, delay, surveillance, or the ability to exclude certain participants. In a choke point economy, power may belong to actors who can decide who moves, how fast movement occurs, under what conditions, and at what cost. This is a broader conception of power than traditional resource control. A state, firm, institution, or platform may possess leverage because others must pass through its domain to reach markets, customers, capital, infrastructure, or information. The practical importance of this theme is that control can be partial yet consequential. Even small frictions can reshape incentives when they are applied at scale or at critical moments. Delays can impose inventory costs. Access restrictions can alter strategic choices, and pricing changes can redirect behavior. This topic also highlights why neutrality in infrastructure is often contested. Systems that appear technical or administrative can become political because the governance of access determines who benefits from global connectivity and who bears its risks. Fourthly, global power is a product of dependency within interconnected systems. Another important theme is the connection between choke points and global power. The book title suggests that global influence is increasingly defined by positions within interdependent systems rather than only by territory, population, or raw material endowments. A powerful actor is one that other actors cannot easily bypass. This shifts the analysis from size alone to dependency. A smaller actor with control over a vital node may possess leverage disproportionate to its scale, while a larger actor with deep reliance on external bottlenecks may face strategic exposure. This framework is especially relevant to a global economy built through specialization. Specialization improves efficiency by allowing actors to focus on comparative strengths, but it can also deepen reliance on distant capacities and rules. The result is a world where economic relationships are not automatically pacifying or evenly beneficial. Interdependence creates mutual gains, but it also creates points of pressure. The idea of choke point power helps explain why economic networks can become tools of bargaining, coercion, or resilience planning. It also encourages readers to map relationships rather than only measure output. The decisive question becomes not simply who produces the most, but who depends on whom, through which route, and with what alternatives. Lastly, resilience as the counter-strategy to concentrated constraint, a final major topic is the problem of resilience. If choke points generate leverage because systems lack easy alternatives, then resilience requires reducing excessive dependence on any single point of constraint. This does not necessarily mean abandoning efficiency, but it does require recognizing that the lowest cost path may carry hidden strategic risk. Resilience can involve redundancy, diversification, buffer capacity, interoperability, transparency, and governance arrangements that prevent arbitrary exclusion. The significance of this theme lies in the trade-off between optimization and security. Highly streamlined systems can perform well under normal conditions, but fail sharply when a critical node is disrupted. A choke point perspective, therefore, asks decision makers to value optionality, not only throughput. For businesses, this may mean examining supplier concentration, logistics routes, digital dependencies, and contractual exposure. For governments, it may mean assessing infrastructure, standards, alliances, and regulatory tools. For citizens, it clarifies why distant disruptions can affect prices, availability, and institutional stability. The concept of resilience also prevents the analysis from becoming purely fatalistic. Choke points are not unavoidable destinies. They can be mapped, governed, mitigated, or balanced, although doing so often requires accepting higher costs, slower processes, or more complex coordination before a crisis occurs. In conclusion, THE Choke Point Economy is best suited for readers interested in the intersection of globalization, strategy, infrastructure, supply chains, and geopolitical economy. Because publicly available detail about this specific book is limited, it should be approached as a title whose clearly stated framework is more verifiable than any unconfirmed chapter-level argument. Its practical value lies in the way the title organizes a broad set of contemporary concerns around three linked concepts: flow, constraint, and control. Readers in business, policy, logistics, technology, finance, or international relations can benefit from thinking about power as something embedded in networks rather than only held in formal institutions. The intellectual benefit is a clearer vocabulary for identifying where vulnerability and leverage arise in complex systems. Compared with similar books on globalization or economic warfare, this book stands out in its apparent emphasis on the structural mechanics of choke points rather than only on specific conflicts, sanctions, or historical episodes. Its positioning is analytical and systems-oriented. It invites readers to ask how movement is organized, where it narrows, who governs access, and what alternatives exist. That makes it especially relevant for readers who want a conceptual lens for understanding why modern economies can be both highly connected and strategically fragile. If you would like to support Mario Cordon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.